And dear God, we are so thankful in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you have called us here today to worship you. And Lord, as we've been rejoicing in that word worship, it's to draw nigh as to kiss in fervent love. Now, Lord, help us to want to come nigh to thee. Lord, you are so desirous of us to come nigh to you. Now help us to come boldly to that throne today. You and your Son are there. Hallelujah, that we have been invited to come in there boldly. And Lord, to obtain the grace, the mercy for every need that we will ever face. Now through your scriptures today, just anoint that truth in our lives. Help us to rejoice. Help us to come out from among them and be ye separate. Help us to sing glad tidings unto you. Help us to be a people of praise this morning. We thank you again for giving us that wondrous Son and all the glory that is within him. We thank you for it. Give you the praise. Ask your Spirit to anoint. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles today to Revelation. And we're going to the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation. And we will begin reading from the 9th verse, Revelation 7:9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. This is our brother John up there in spirit in heaven. The Lord showing him so many wonderful things. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. Yes. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Notice that, before the throne. And serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, brothers and sisters, we have come to a time today when we are going to finish up the thought on our series on believer's remorse. Now, a couple weeks ago, we started into this and we first discovered the believer's remorse that is in direct disobedience to God. Last week, we talked about the believer's remorse that comes when we do not trust God. But brothers and sisters, we've come to, I believe, this scripture, this moment that is the epitome, it's the pinnacle of believers' remorse. This is most of God's precious people. We're reading here in this scripture, it's the innumerable multitude that is seen in heaven. The overwhelming majority of believers will experience this great regret. And this great regret is missing the first trump. This is a very sobering sermon, I hope. Missing the first trump. The realization that I missed God's best. And these are the tears, brothers and sisters, that are being cried here, that are being wiped away. The tears of the greatest remorse. The tears of knowing that I have missed God's best. And this isn't a time, brothers and sisters, that we're reading about here of what could have been. This is downright, I wish I had. I wish I had. The moment when there shall be no more time to get ready for the bride. No more time. And I have to tell you, I was thinking again, Lord, all the wooing, all of your wondrous calling, all of the grace upon grace upon grace upon grace that has continued to pour out for us to receive this wondrous message. The message that has been preached, the message that has been sung about, the message by the grace of God that is all in His Word and truth of run, brother, run. Run to obtain the mark for the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. But yet we've come to a time here that it's over. That time is no more. And I have to tell you, in meditating upon this, I could not imagine. And really, God forbid, brothers and sisters, those that truly have embraced the message of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. Could you imagine to be there knowing that that crown that He said to hold fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown, had slipped through your hand? I want you to go there today. I want you to think about this. God is causing us to reckon, to understand, to be alert, to be awake. And to understand that don't be the one that would allow that crown to slip from your hands and be replaced with a palm. That's what we're reading about here. A crown to a palm. Oh my. The praise, the worship, and the glory, the thanks, the reward that's even spoken about there in chapter 4 of those four living ones. The full overcomers, the race winners, the ones that are full of joy, the ones that are worshiping Him in the very midst of the throne. And instead, again, we see here what they have is servants and salvation to our God. How about the place to think of it this way? That is so coveted by our Father. The place that is so coveted by our Father for us to have. And it says right there, in the very midst of that throne. Right there in it. Circled about, as it's saying there, by the angels. I don't like people calling me an angel. I'm a child of the King. And praise be to God, I'm growing up. To a very, by His grace, hopeful, mature son of God. That's ready. That's prepared. And those angels are rejoicing in that. And they rejoice so much at this day that they're circling about the midst of that throne. And again, we notice that the four living ones are there in the midst of it. But yet, instead, as we read in our text, here we have, I'm just standing before it all. I'm just observing the glory instead of being the glory. A lot of people have trouble with that statement. Did you know that? What do you mean about being the glory? You need to know your Bible. Oh, it's the very truth of the Word of God. It's His very high calling. We have been studying there in 2 Corinthians, in that 11th chapter, and it's so wondrous how He says that He wants us and He has espoused us to one husband. And He wants us to be placed, it's so wonderful, at the very side of His Son. And be presented, as it says there, a chaste virgin unto His Son. And as we were reading about that chaste virgin, it means immaculate. It means clear, clear to the light, transparent. All that you see when you see her is the glory of God. That's all that she is His glory. And why would that not be true? As you see there in Revelation in the 21st chapter, what does it say about that bride? She comes down from heaven, having what? The glory of God. She's got it. It's her. That's what she is. Having the glory of God and her light. I can't imagine. One star differeth from another in glory. Only stars, and especially sun glory, are going to have that light. And her light was like that of a stone most precious. Isn't that so marvelous? To know what God has called us into. To know what God, again, wants us to be. But yet, here we have this group that instead, again, is standing, observing it. And brothers and sisters, I'm encouraged to tell us here today, it's the same thing that's going on right now. Are you standing and observing it, or are you entering in? Really, think about that. You've heard that old adage, are you sitting on the premises or are you standing on the promises? I've always appreciated that. But truly, even more so in the Word of God, are you beholding the glory or are you experiencing the glory? There's a difference, and you know it, and it's true. And brothers and sisters, that wife has made herself ready. She's living as the wife today. She's living that wonderful matrimony today. She's realizing and experiencing that espousal to her one husband is now. It's so awesome to know that God wants me to enter into that with His Son now. And I'll tell you, this is why I'm so thankful that this meeting, by His grace, is so special. Because this message is preached in this place. Amen. It is preached here. Praise be to God. And again, we thank Him for His faithfulness. This is God's Word rightfully divided for us. This is a very clear thing. This is very straightforward. This is the simplicity that is in the gospel, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride. Oh yes, He is. Jesus is going to have a bride. And as we read all throughout the Word of God in so many different types and shadows, she is unlike her little sister. That bride is unlike her little sister. And you think again about that little sister. That's her family. People getting ready for weddings all over the place. And there's a lot in the wedding party. Sure, there's many guests. But the wedding party usually is the family, isn't it? Well, that little sister, she's part of the wedding party. It's wonderful. But she's no bride. Oh, no, she's not. God's got much family, and it's wonderful. And they'll be experiencing it. They'll be before the throne. They'll be observing the glory, but hallelujah, only that bride and groom really understand and enter in to the very glory. And that's what God has for us today. See, that little sister, listen to it again and again and again. He says, and it's so clear and so sweet, she has no breast. She's just a baby. She's a child. She cannot enter into this. But I'll tell you what, that Shulamite woman, that mature lady, she's ravished my heart. She's ravished me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. It says that she is the one whom is my beloved. Much love, passion. My very desire is her. Not just toward her, it's just her. I hope this is reaching deep today. We're a quiet people, and I pray we're feeding, as Brother Hill used to say. But sometimes I'm telling you better stir up that gift, brothers and sisters. Stir it up. It's a gift. This is just a gift. It's the greatest gift that's ever been given. Do you know that you've been espoused to one husband? Do you know that knowing that message, that He's called you, that He's chosen you, that He's given you the opportunity to come into a knowledge of this? An exact, a complete. You know how blessed you are. I say, why me every single day? I was thinking how my mom, again, How marvelous. People can say this about all these different things in life, naturally speaking. But I'm talking about the divine. Brother Hill, people say, well, that's your grandpa. Brother Hill is not my blood grandpa. No, he's not. Brother Hill fell in love with Sister Hill, who had my mom as a little baby. And if you really ever knew Brother and Sister Hill, how they could ever fall in love, who would have thunk of that? Talk about a miracle. And I'll just say it like it was. But to think that God saw me. Now, he could have brought me in a lot of other ways. But there she was, and she had that baby. And that happened to be my mom. And he saw that she had a heart. And he saw that I'd have a heart. And you've got that same story too. He saw that you had a heart. And he brought you into a place. Didn't matter if it was called Living Waters or whatever it was. It was a place where the fullness of the gospel is preached. And we need to be a people that are so incredibly embracing the thankfulness of what we have. It's not in pride. You don't embrace someone that you love in pride. You embrace them in thankfulness. True love is the greatest of thankfulness. I am thankful for my wife beyond words. And I am. But how much more thankful I am for my Jesus beyond words. Yes, he's my Savior, and I understand that. But to think, Lord, you allowed me to be born in this time, in this age, in this day. And you've brought me into knowing your truth like this. And I'm convinced, I'm totally persuaded that, Lord, I've committed this to you and you're able to perform it in my life. I've just no words for that. And you know, it becomes that peach that you've got to taste. It becomes that peach that you've got to feast on. It becomes that peach that only you and you alone know what it tastes like. Praise the Lord. But we can come together, can't we, today? And we say, oh, I know that too. Oh, I've got that too. And I'm so thankful that you have it as well. That we're being drawn into that. An ever-increasing intensity of Jesus. You're coming. Your reward is with you. And you know what your reward is, Lord? I'm seeing more and more all the time. It's just you. It's just you. Hallelujah. Oh, my wonderful Jesus. It's just you. But it's amazing as I think about this, brothers and sisters. As I was just rejoicing in this wonderful message, really, how exciting it is that we do have the fullness of the mystery of God. You've got that. You have got something. You've got the only something. But we have this in this Word of God. It's there for everybody. But thank the Lord that you're believing it. It's amazing. It's marvelous. But we have this. And it's all throughout the Word of God as He continues to, whether it's that onion we talk about and all the little layers and you keep peeling down and you know, as you peel more, you realize, man, there's just that much more. And as you get down there, it's like, there's that much more. Well, they found that out in our universe. They start peering into it and said, oh, it's pretty big. Oh, my goodness. My, oh, my. And it's increasing at an increasing rate. Yeah. He's all about us, isn't he? Hallelujah. And it's there. And how he proves himself over and over and over. And I'm thankful that I can see it through his eyes, through his word. And that's why it gets more exciting. That's why it doesn't grow old. That's why as Christians, it doesn't need to become boring. It doesn't need to become something that's just blah. Get into the word. Get on your knees. Take that prayer, by the grace of God, give it to the Spirit and allow Him to make it worship. Worship. Praise the Lord. Lord, take reading the Bible and make it known. Yeah. Bring me on. Bring me out of myself. Bring me into that wonderful new creation. Let me rejoice into who I am. Oh, what a wonderful thing. But again, as thinking about this wonderful message of this high water mark, and Brother Hill used to talk about it so many times in that Ephesians. How Brother Paul had written that wonderful letter, inspired of the Holy Spirit, to those Ephesians, that church of Ephesus. And there it was, so clearly laid out all of the chapters, especially there in the third chapter, the mystery that the Gentiles now can be as man and wife, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. There is the types, the shadows, all of those things that were uncovered. But you know, here it is. You've got it. It's there for you to see. And that church received that letter. But you know what? You go to Revelation 2. And he starts talking about those seven churches in Revelation 2. And the very church, the very first one that's addressed, is the church of Ephesus. It is. Talks about many wonderful things about them. About their faith, about the things that are going on. The word of God that's being preached there. The faithfulness, all of these things. But he says, you know what? I got one thing against you. There's something that's just hurting my heart. You've left your first love. You've left that first love. The church that I had written that letter to. And brothers and sisters, we are a church that has received that letter. We are. We're a people that have taken that by His grace. He sent it. You talk about a special package. You talk about a letter of letters. We have it. It's here. But those Ephesian saints, what happened? They received it, but they didn't cherish the espousal to one husband. They didn't cherish it. And he's telling them, wake up. Wake up. Don't slumber. They're in Thessalonians. He talks about it very clearly. Don't sleep as them in the night. That thief, he comes in the night. And he comes at an hour you think not. You best be prepared. And brothers and sisters, I know that we have this. I believe by the grace of God, we're treasuring this message like never before. But I'm encouraged to encourage myself in the Lord as well as His precious people here today. Wake up. Be ready. Be ready. Not get ready. Be ready. As Brother Ken said here so sweetly, I'm loving His appearing. That is the sign of the one who is ready to meet Him. And again, we ask today, brothers and sisters, so where are we? Where are we? Are we as this slumbering woman here in Ephesus that God forbid we're like her? Just think about Samson, who we read about a couple weeks back. There he was. He had his head resting in the lap of Delilah, right? He thought he was just fine. And he went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, the hair was shorn. His hair was cut off. You know what hair speaks about in the Word of God? It speaks of the glory of the woman. The beauty of her. Go read in Song of Solomon as he talks about her hair. How majestic, how beautiful that hair is to the Lord. Well, you know what? When he slept, the glory was gone. It was taken away. It was cut off. It wasn't there anymore. And he got up and he expected it to be there, but in his slumber, it was gone. The time that he was to be prepared to be ready, he wasn't, because he was slumbering. Distracted maybe by the things of this earth. How about thinking it this way, brothers and sisters? How many of us are still seeking out my will instead of thy will? Where are we? Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Yes. This is a good message, brothers and sisters. I'm not here to harm you in any way. I'll let the Lord chasten you. And He does. Whom He loves, He chastens. Absolutely. I pray that His word cuts deep this morning. I pray it cuts deep all the time. But we're talking about the greatest remorse there could ever be. And the remorse that you would wake up someday, or you would understand that you missed God's best. That you missed a time that you could have met Him in the air. And let me tell you something. That will be a time of great sorrow. That'll be the time of the greatest sorrow that any of us here could ever experience. And I don't know if I would ever stop crying. And that's why God would have to someday meet me and say, "Son, let me take the tears from your eyes." I don't want it to be that way. God forbid it would be that way. God help us that we would want to seek your best. I look at God's people today and it hurts my heart, not in any judgment, but we're so caught up in Christian good. I appreciate when people are kind. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate when we look and tend to the things of others. I think that's a wonderful thing. The Word of God tells me that. But as Jesus Christ said himself, the poor will always be with you. But me, you're only going to have a little while. You better get at my feet and be that worshiper. Get next to me. I got many Marthas out there. They're running around. But they're the ones that are going to be crying because they missed his best. There's one thing consistent about Christian good, brothers and sisters. It will always miss God's very best. It will. If you're caught up into a life of self-works that make you satisfied with God, you will completely miss the greatest finish work, which is his masterpiece. He has got to do this. It's him that does the wonderful workmanship in our life to present us as that bride adorned. Thank you, Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, it does not have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Maybe this has gotten you down just a little bit, but it's time to look up. Time to look up. Let him restore you, even now, as he brings us through these messages. Let it cut, but let him bring the healing. Yes. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. There is a balm in Gilead. And let me tell you something. You start bathing in that balm and drinking that thing down. It's amazing what will happen. And you can do that now. And see, the Lord is calling us. And he is. And it's so wonderful. He's been calling at you, praise God, ever since you knew anything. Because he saw you in ages past. And praise the Lord. There's one thing I know about his sheep that he tells us. We know his voice and we hear his voice. No excuses. You're a child of the King. You know his voice and you hear his voice. And he's been calling. And he's been calling so magnificently to us these last few weeks again. So precious. And today, it's cherish me. Can you hear him say that? Can you hear him say that in this message? Cherish me. That crown. Oh, hallelujah. Can you look at your crown? Praise God. You know what that crown is? It's the message that you have been espoused to one husband. It is. That crown that you have been espoused to one husband. Hold it fast. Praise the Lord. Hold it fast. Seek, rejoice in that I want to present you. Can you imagine? And make them know that I have loved thee. One requirement, to love his appearing. Merely love my appearing is what he tells us. Praise be to God. So simply, brothers and sisters, it's all been accomplished. This isn't something that we're fighting and in a sense striving within ourselves. It's something that is already done. It's finished. It's bestowed. All in his love for me. And praise be to God, it is so there for the taking. It's freely given. And it's so desired of God for us to take. He desires for us to take this. As the Holy Spirit says, I will take the things of Christ and make them yours. Oh, amen. I think of that and I say, oh, you are such a loving Father. You are such a loving Father. You desire such a rightful bride for your son. I have two boys. And if the Lord tarry, and as I tell them, when they get in their mid-40s, we'll start looking. My mother might even think mid-50s. But as a rightful father, I desire a rightful bride. Amen. But as that all-loving father for his daughter, he desires the rightful suitor as well. And you think of that suitor that we have, brothers and sisters. His very Son. His very Son. That loves us perfectly. Perfectly. Forever, never to be separated from that love. I'm thankful for the loves that I've known on in this earth, whether it's the love from my dad and my mom and my wife and my kids. But there's never a love that I've known that could ever come close to my Jesus. It's forever. It's always, and it's there, and it encapsulates me. It's within me. The very love of God. Oh my. And finally, brothers and sisters, I think in winning Him. And that's what it really is about, isn't it? We know this. I can see it in your eyes this morning. I really can. And many of the faces that, yes, it is in a sense, a somber but rejoicing. Again, how the Lord can have us hungering but yet full. Abasing and yet abounding. It happens even in a message, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. We go through these things. This is what the Spirit does in our life. This is why the Lord has shown me, son, you just be still and know that I'm God. I'll take you everywhere you need to go. Everywhere. Everywhere you need to go. But in winning Him, there's really nothing for me to prove. Because it's about His love. Think about when you win somebody's love. I'm not proving to you anything. It's the love that it's about. There's nothing that I could bring to this. Only that I would love Him. Only love Him. Perfectly. Only wantingly to love Him. You think about some of these great love stories in the Word of God. You think about Jacob who so loved Rachel. Gave up 14 years of his life. That's a long time. And you know it is. 14 years. Come on, brother, couldn't you find somebody else? Nope, I want her. He worked for that old Laban. How about brother David? There was Michael, Saul's daughter. Loved her so much, he went out and he slew 100 Philistines for the hand of that woman. I don't know. What do you think, brother? Better not answer. But those are great loves. Those are amazing attractions. And there was amazing desire. But let me tell you something. It's not a drop in the ocean to what we're talking about here. We're talking about agape love, brothers and sisters. We are talking about the very divine love of God. The love that allows me to know and to be able to say, Lord, I have nothing to bring. I have nothing to bring. But only what You have provided. It's got to be from You, Lord. There was no way that I could enter into this. It had to be You. And praise the Lord. I come before Him today. And I honestly can say, and Lord, here it is. It's the heart that You gave me. You allowed me to be after a very heart of Yours. Just like Brother David. He sought after God's very own heart. And I can come before Him and you can too and say, Lord, here's what You've given me. It's Yours. It's only, it's entirely, it's completely Yours. No one else's. It's just Yours. And in that, brothers and sisters, we will never stand with this innumerable multitude. God forbid we would ever stand there. God forbid. There will never be, for those that have this heart, a remorse. There will never be that regret. There will never be those tears. There will never be those tears that were shed. The hungering and thirsting that we said, when they knew that they had missed it, when they knew that that time had passed them by, could you imagine the hungering to be with the Lord at that time? Could you imagine to have the thirsting to be drinking from the fountains of life? There won't be a tear from her. Oh no. It's just going to be glory upon glory upon glory upon glory upon glory upon glory. As I sit and stand, and I don't know all the different things, and worship and all those things, in the midst of the throne saying, Lord, by Your grace, I am so thankful that I yielded to this. I am so thankful that You made it real to me. I am so grateful to You that I did. I fully came after You. When You said, Lord, will You go? I said, oh Lord, I will go. No turning back, brothers and sisters. No turning back. No tears. No crying, no pain. Praise God, just the joy, the glory of knowing that I have won His very best. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You again for Your sweetness, Lord. We appreciate how You deal with us. And Lord, help our hearts to be open today. Lord, help us to be a people of gladness. And Lord, I again am just so thankful that we can rest in this. I am encouraged that there is a rest to the people of God. There is a rest when we know that we have ceased from our own works and know that it's in Your hands. That's it, Lord, is that we are Your workmanship. Don't let us go out of here fretting. Don't let us go out of here thinking that there is something, that there's a labor of self. That no, precious Lord, it's just Your work of holiness and righteousness that You've already caused us to be, but that You would perfect it in our life. Help us to grow up, to be the very mature sons of God. As Brother Paul was glorying in that man who was caught up into heaven, he was glorying, praise the Lord, in that man. In that man that he was to be someday. Not in the man that he was on this earth, but the man that he was to be in that day. Lord, let it be a reality to us. Lord, let it be real. Help us to come and be a people full of worship with You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.